Hello, and a very warm welcome to New in Events, a podcast from IBTM. My name is Mike Fletcher.
And I'm Paul Cook. And together we'll be diving into the world of events professionals and interviewing key figures to unearth new thinking, new ideas, and up-to-date advice for industry newcomers.
New in Events is for everyone working in the meetings, incentive, conference, and event sectors. You may have recently got a job in this industry and you're looking to learn from more experienced players, or you may be a seasoned pro looking for new solutions, new ways of working, and inspiration for how your events can evolve for the future.
Whichever part of the events industry you work in, and no matter how long you've been one of us, you've come to the right place.
New episodes of Season 1 will be available throughout the first half of 2024, so don't forget to follow and subscribe on whichever channel you download your podcast from.
Or you can follow us and IBTM Events on social media, and we'll let you know every time a new episode is published.
So, let's get on with the show. Hi listeners, welcome to episode 7, and today we'll be talking all things tech. We discuss AI, we look at new event technology, and we'll be exploring how to integrate and adopt it. Hi Paul, who's on the show today?
Hi Mike, good to see you. On the show today, we have Cole Jadams, who is the CEO and owner of VocDams, who are an agency for events and live marketing based over in Germany. And then we go back in time, we go back to IBTM World, where we did an interview with Nick Fagan, creative technologist from DRPG, who's now been promoted to the head of innovation. And to finish off, we talked to Vanessa Lovett, who is the strategy consultant at Financial Times. But first, let's hear what Kolja has to say about that very important subject of AI.
Hi, Kolja. Good to see you. Thanks for joining the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Mike.
So today, this episode of the podcast, we've talked a lot about technology. And I know that artificial intelligence, AI, is a particular passion of yours. I was wondering whether you could tell our listeners something about how AI will revolutionize the meetings and live experience industry. And is it all hype at the moment, or are there real practical implications for where AI is being used currently?
I believe AI is going to change the world everywhere and also in the events business. But having said this, and I will circle back to this, I do believe that the more digital we become, the more AI is out there, the more demand for live events is going to follow. Before I come back to this, just like you asked, the world is changing and we do use AI everywhere. AI is not going to kill the event manager's job, but the event manager using AI will be the ones using the jobs for the future. And just to give you a few hands-on examples, translation is one. So AI translation, the same that gives you captions in YouTube and TikTok, is working very well right now. So while we needed to have lots of interpreters in little booths up on stage or behind the stage, now the AI is taking care of that. Also, AI can help in the entire creative process. So instead of starting with a blank page of paper, you can now have AI create visuals, create even blueprints of your entire event and text, and that is extremely helpful. Just to give you another quick example, AI is also helping in taking the boring stuff out of event management. Just the other day, we had the question of a client, we do a couple hundred events for a year, that they wanted to come up with a study internally how many of their speakers up on stage have been female versus male over the last 10 years. So now, of course, you don't have to use AI to solve this question. You can also get someone or a team of people to cruise the file server and get 5,800 programs of past events and look at them and just mark a list on who's a female. Or you just put this into the AI coming up with a solution, which only takes a fraction of the time. And honestly, no one has fun going through 5,800 programs of past events.
Fantastic. So AI is used very much for getting rid of manual tasks that take a long time, automate a lot of the tasks that event planners are having to go through. What about some of the creativity, some of the creative tasks that AI can contribute to live experiences?
In the creative tasks, first, it helps you. You don't have to start from scratch. AI can help you to get your ideas flowing. A lot of times people are afraid, okay, I don't need a creative anymore if AI can do everything. But talking from experience, my phone has a perfect camera in it that is probably as good as all the big DSLR expensive camera gear you can get. But still, my pictures I'm taking, as being not a professional photographer, do only look half as good as the ones from a professional photographer taken with a lousy smartphone. And this is the same we are having here. So now in the creative process, it can help you get ideas. It can help you create visuals. In the old days, we used to create mood boards and come up with color schemes and stuff. This AI can do much faster. And then it's still up to you to decide what is fitting and what goes into which direction, and then follow it up. But we just had a mobile marketing tour throughout Europe where we were presenting a new product for a luxury brand. And the idea we came up with was like a unwrapping of a huge parcel that was originally created in AI, and then we reverse engineered it and ended up building it on marketplaces all around Europe.
That's fascinating. Excellent. Okay. I think our listeners will be very glad to hear that AI won't replace the jobs that are on offer within the live experience industry. One of our guests on a previous episode likened it to the dawn of the internet and said that if you were coming into this industry, AI is one of the skill sets that you should really get to grips with. I guess that you would agree with that, yes?
Absolutely. As of now, even though everyone is looking for prompt engineers, there's like no way you can learn prompt engineering because it's only been around for 18 months that you have a university study or a school specialized on it, even though there are lots of them trying to sell you courses on it. But this is a huge advantage you have now entering the industry if you are familiar and if you're having fun using AI. But circling back again, I do believe, because there's a downside on AI that we need to mention it as well. AI will create content a lot faster than we used to create content. This will lead to content being flooded on TikTok, Instagram, and all the others. Generated content. This, on the one hand, in combination with deepfakes, every single day we find out about a new, honestly, fun stuff on deepfakes that are out there on the internet. So no one really can tell, is this authentic, what I see on my TikTok clip there? This is where live events come in. Because by the end of the day, AI will drive live events. Because you cannot fake events.
And you can't fake live, and that's the point, isn't it? So do you think that humans will obviously need to be a very important part of the future of AI, because you need people to check the authenticity of what they're seeing? And is there a specific job role within live experiences that will be dedicated to the evolution of AI? For example, creative technologists. Are you seeing the creative technology role within agencies becoming more prevalent?
Absolutely. We've just started up in October last year an office dedicated on creative technologies in Barcelona. And we do have an entire team there that is focusing on the new AI technologies. We've created like a sandbox to safely check out all the tools that are out there and see how can they help us with our workflow for creating, managing, and analyzing events.
Superb. Are there any particular AI tools that you would recommend to meetings and event planners to start experimenting with now?
Yes, there are lots of them, and I believe there are very many coming out every single day. So I believe it's important to know how to use ChatGPT, even if it sounds like the most boring one, and then keep your eyes open to all the stuff coming out of there. I do have a few highlights, but if I mention them now and someone listens to your podcast in 3 months, this will sound extremely old. So in 3 months, new stuff comes out. My favorite tools I used before the end of last year are almost all gone, and there are new tools out doing it way better. And I believe this will continue over the next years.
It's incredible, isn't it? It's moving at such an accelerated pace now. And I think the future with AI and live experiences and the benefits it can bring are going to be incredible. And obviously, as we've discussed, meetings and event planners need to watch out for some of the risks involved with AI as well, and make sure that they don't believe everything at face value, and they check everything, and they understand the potential and the risks of using artificial intelligence.
I couldn't agree more.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for joining the podcast, Kolja. That was really insightful.
Thank you for having me, Mike.
Welcome, listeners. We're back in the podcast booth here at IBTM World. I'm delighted to be joined by Nick Fagan, who is creative technologist for DRPG. And Nick brought a colleague along with him. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, certainly. I'm Rhys Kirsch, and I'm the segment manager for live events at Holoplot, a very new and brand new exciting tech audio manufacturer.
Fantastic. Welcome to the podcast booth for you. But I'd like to start with you, Nick, because your job title fascinates me, because I'm not sure the role of event technologist actually existed before 2020, did it?
It's very, very true, yeah. So actually, for myself, you know, I've been in the role a year. The role didn't exist at DRPG before myself. And it's a real natural progression, I think, within the events industry. It's a thing that's come from demand and a skill set that has been developed over an evolution of technology. There's no sort of 2 days are the same in my role, but I'm responsible for researching, innovating, and enhancing our technical solutions at DRPG. I love my job. I've got a strong background in theatre and rock and roll and corporate events before DRPG. But in reality, at the moment, being able to research and enhance these amazing technologies and unlock unbelievable potential for our customers and colleagues is something I love doing. Yeah, it's a great role.
And for any newcomers coming into the industry, it's a job that they could aspire to as well.
Correct. The title was creative technologist in reality, but it's a job that I always actually aspired to do. But being enabled and supported by a team to do this means that we can achieve some amazing things. So yeah, you're right. For me, I wish the job title was there really when I was looking at the events industry, you know, something to aim for as creative technologist. But yeah, I empower anybody that's got a keen interest in helping others and understanding technology that this might be a role for them. Probably the most exciting thing to happen in industry, I believe, ever is a technical solution from a company called Holoplots. Today we've got a session on Holoplots. I'm interviewing Rhys on stage. So yeah, I'm really, really excited. There's so much going on.
Rhys, you better tell us about Holoplots and what it's all about.
He's already sold it really well, hasn't he?
He has, hasn't he?
So Holoplots is basically, we're an audio manufacturer from Berlin. However, we produce a loudspeaker that basically uses a combination of wave field synthesis and 3D audio beamforming. Now, that sounds very high level and technical, doesn't it? But what that actually means is you can control sound more like a light and position audio where you want it within a space. And maybe what's more importantly is actually reducing the audio in spaces that you don't want it. So actually positioning and moving it more like a moving light, for instance, which allows a load of interesting either creative or functional opportunities. And I think that's where Nick, as a creative technologist, likes it so much, because it opens a lot of doors for him and being able to use his creative, but also his sort of more fundamental and basics and getting the event up and running.
Absolutely. I've actually seen it in action at a trade show. And one of the things that really impressed me was that it allows you to deliver presentations in different languages.
Yeah,
so somebody
correct.
Sitting on the front row can hear the presentation in their own language, and somebody sitting on the back row can hear it in French or English or German or whatever language that they speak.
In my session yesterday, I talked about knowing your audience. So I talk about using AI to understand your demographic, understand people, and how we capture so much data on people but don't use it to its full potential to help people. We can do this all ethically. I'm not talking about Big Brother here. I'm talking about capturing data that you need to know on somebody. You don't necessarily even need to know who they are to understand what language somebody might speak. Imagine this, you know, I'm on stage saying to people, know your audience, use AI to understand. And then Holoplot is a tool, like we say, can literally steer sound like a light. So exactly as you've alluded to, translation and actually hearing something in your first language is a massive, massive thing. If I'm saying you can do that without headphones, without having to put my hand up and say, I'd like to hear it in French. There's so many ways we deploy the solution that make it seamless for people. And we can measure, actually, the benefits really quite simply. If you speak to somebody in their first language, they will retain more information. It's that simple. They will be more engaged, understand more, and remember more. There's not a much better impact on return on engagement as tech solutions like Holoplot enable us to do.
Fantastic. We love hearing about new technologies here on the IBTM World podcast. Are you talking about any other new technologies that are going to blow our minds in the future?
Absolutely. So with regards to artificial intelligence and the benefits of it, we also had a really powerful session yesterday with a company called Zenus. So Panos was on stage with me. Panos is the CEO of Zenus. This guy's got a doctorate in computer science. He's got a degree in applied mathematics. He's a very, very clever gentleman. And he's behind a lot of the software and the hardware behind Zenus. And Zenus enables me to use simple infrastructure to use a camera to judge sentiment, but do it accurately, compare the data in the cloud, actually understand that just because somebody's smiling doesn't always mean they're engaged. So then that is one of the many solutions that I talk about. And I specifically talk about it in a flow. I help people understand what it might look like for a person in the future where somebody registers online, and they might have a neurodiversity or an accessibility difference. And they could talk to maybe a chatbot or an AI and register. They can answer one question and we get lots of information from them that can help them. Then when they turn up to a show, we understand who they are, we understand how engaged they are, and we also understand they may have additional requirements, again, without them having to hold their hand up and say help.
Where are we at with facial recognition in the industry at the moment? Is it still quite a long way off? You were talking about engagement and spotting whether people are engaged during sessions.
Facial recognition is still absolute valid technology, but it's deployed in a different way. So we're not just trying to recognize everybody all the time. I've had some really interesting conversations with people that say they're not happy to be identified, but they're wearing a name badge and they've got a QR code with their registration data on them. And that comes from fear. A lot of that comes from the fear of, what are you doing with my data? And I agree that people should be aware. Something I say that often shocks everybody in the auditorium, a really good piece of information to know, is that, you know, actually, if you've got an Android device or an iOS or any popular operating system on you, in reality, you're giving away that data for free. Your phone will look at your face to see if you're engaged, and it'll tell you it's doing it to dim the screen, to change notifications. In reality, as well as doing that, they know what you're looking at. They know what you're engaged in, and they know what you're disengaged in. All I want to do is empower individuals to use that in our industry. I've gone off a little bit there, but facial recognition is something we still use, but we use it in an entirely different way.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, you two, for dropping by the podcast booth. Enjoy the rest of the show. Find some innovation out on the show floor and we'll keep in touch. It's brilliant to speak to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Cheers.
Vanessa, during your career, you've been immersed in event tech and the impact it can have. So what's your take on how event planners are using AI right now?
The answer to that is variably, because you've got various different applications of AI at different stages of the event planning cycle. And sometimes this is incredibly impressive application, and sometimes it's really, really light touch. So if you think about the pre-event part of the event planning cycle, you have definitely got event organizers using AI very effectively for marketing. So this could be around identifying good data, high-performing data, responsive data, and then, of course, honing and adopting their messaging that's going out as well. So a really interesting case study very recently, a company that was promoting a webinar, so it was a digital event effectively, and they adjusted the second half of their campaign emails via an AI tool, and they saw a 17% increase on average across the board with the second half of the campaign compared to the first half. Now, of course, you could say it was closer to the event and therefore those emails were going to perform better anyway, but they really felt that they performed so much better than the second half of a campaign when they hadn't used AI. So you've got really great examples of how AI can be used with marketing and outreach, but of course the planning as well, and using AI tools. Now, there are so many available that can help you with efficiency. And there's no doubt that that is already a, I would say, standard application, actually, across the event sector, that event organizers are using AI for efficiency. If you're not yet, you should be. So give it a go. Be brave and take the first step. During the event, seeing a lot of AI used for fun, actually, and for bringing really awesome engagement during the live event experience, and also for session analysis as well. So using AI recorders to literally listen in on the sessions and then summarize them really promptly, straight away. And that's all live in the moment. So you used to have to do that afterwards, and now you can do it really, really effectively during the session. And then post-event analysis, I mean, the opportunities are huge. Certainly at the moment, I'm designing a feedback form. It's a small group. So we're going to get manual feedback forms. This is a test that we're carrying out. We're going back in time to do it manually, but we're designing it so that an AI tool can really quickly analyze it afterwards. We think we're going to get much better overall response rate as a result of doing this manually. That's a small event. You wouldn't want to be doing that for an expo, I realize. And then, of course, managing your content that you've got after the event as well, and snipping it and clipping it and enhancing it. I would say variably is still my answer, but thinking about breaking it down across those three different parts of the life cycle of an event is a good way to think about it in a bit more detail.
So for obvious reasons, the take-up of event tech accelerated during the pandemic, but has since contracted, with some companies going out of business or even being taken over. So with this in mind, how can new tech companies make an impact and be taken seriously?
This is such a good question right now. And it's also a question that I think a lot of event organizers are asking each other as well. Who do we take seriously and who can we trust? And that word trust is incredibly important in my answer to this question. For all of those new, burgeoning, growing event technology companies out there, focus on the outcomes, the actual results that you help event organizers achieve. So not what you do. You might offer registration, or you might offer an engagement tool or an analysis tool, but that's what it does. What does it help me achieve? That's what I really need to know quickly and succinctly as an event organizer. Although there's been contraction in the market, it is still quite noisy out there, and it's confusing, and it's incredibly difficult to differentiate one solution from another. Just speaking candidly, it really is. And so that outcome and results focus is what I certainly look for and recommend event tech companies focus on. Present evidence. Show me as much as you can with regards to case studies and the results that your other customers have achieved. So just this week, I looked at a really interesting event technology company. One of my first questions is, what other companies do you work with that look and feel like my company, that have perhaps the same solution or might be the same scale as the organization that I spend most of my time working with at the moment? And that is so crucial for building up trust. So I do think we're in a point where the opportunity with event technology right now, I feel like we're still at the tip of the iceberg. There are some trust challenges out there still, and people were challenged with event tech in ways they just simply didn't want to be in the last few years. And now we're getting to a point where it's becoming much more, slightly low to say business as usual, but I'll go with it. It's part of the event world now. Event tech is here and it's not going anywhere, but we need to really improve that understanding of outcomes, the evidence that it works, and that will really help bring up the trust between both the buyers and the vendors.
Is there anything extra that you look for when contracting with tech providers? Maybe it's just your gut instinct, or how much does that still play a part?
It does. However, certainly with the Financial Times, where I spend most of my time working at the moment, we have to be evidence-based. And that evidence, actually, I say the other decision-making criteria would be, does this company really understand my company? And I do think there is another consideration with event tech purchasing at the moment, which I'd like to put into the mix. And this is not always something you need, I will add. But there's a lot of conversation in the event technology world at the moment around integrating event tech with your other existing tech solutions, or indeed integrating one tech event tech solution with another event tech solution. And something I always look for is, with those integrations, does the vendor that I'm talking to actually understand what that truly means for me in my organization? Because if I had a pound for every time a technology provider, not just event tech, that any tech provider had said, oh yeah, this integration just takes 15 minutes to turn on, you're just good to go. It's just flicking a switch. I would probably be able to resign tomorrow, because this is so commonplace, but it's simply not true. Perhaps it is occasionally true, but it's so rarely the case that it is just that simple. Does the company I'm talking to actually understand the steps and the stages that I have to go through to get this approved, to even get it reviewed, let alone approved, and then into a schedule or a queuing system where it might get done in 6 months' time? And do they understand how this actually works? Now, in a smaller organization, you would not face a lot of those challenges. But it's still the same point remains, is does the company, the event tech company that you're talking to, really understand your business and your needs and your goals and your outcomes? And I think there's more we can do on this, definitely, both as organizers to explain ourselves better, but also from the vendor companies to work this out better and to really tailor and custom the solutions that they're offering accordingly.
So do you have any top tips for helping companies embed new technology once it's been chosen? In other words, how can someone overcome corporate resistance to adopting it?
Don't underestimate how hard it's going to be to implement and adopt what you've just purchased. I would actually overestimate requirements for implementation and adoption to your senior leadership. Tell them worst case scenario so that you're only going to do better than that. When you've made the selection of a particular technology solution, you've signed the contract. Now, depending on your organization, that might be really quite swift and straightforward, and depending on what you're actually buying as well, or it could have taken you months. It just depends. But signing that contract, that's just the starter's firing gun, if you will. You have got a whole race to run. And I do see sometimes people sign the contract and they're like, oh, thank God for that. We've finally chosen the right solution for us. Phew, take a breather. You can't. That is when it gets harder. The communication up with leadership, incredibly important, but I would have very clear first month measures of success, 3 month measures of success. And then depending what the solution is, 6 months or 12 months, at that stage, it starts to become a little bit more dependent on the solution itself. Have those measures of success and share them with your vendor. Really important. Having been vendor side, I can 100% say that when we knew what those measures of success were for a new customer, we would have bent over backwards to make those happen, because particularly with SaaS style software solutions, a lot of event tech isn't true SaaS style, but you've already decided in the first month if you're going to renew the contract or not based on that early experience. If you tell your vendor what you need to see, they know that first month is so pinnacle to you renewing your business with them. But if they're good vendors, they will try really, really hard to make that happen. But you need to share this information with your team as well. It's not just about your vendor. It's making it super clear for everybody in your team, this is your responsibility in implementing this software. This is your responsibility, and make it as personal as you can. If you have the bandwidth, don't underestimate the power of a one-to-one conversation around implementing new solutions with the really sort of pinnacle people in the adoption process. But yeah, to summarize, don't underestimate how significant the effort is to implement and truly embed continuous adoption. Have really clear success metrics for your first month and your first 90 days, and communicate that widely. The more you bring your vendor into your plan for success, the greater your likelihood is of actually achieving it. So treat your vendor as your partner as well.
You've kind of preempted my next question, actually, which is, you've got the tech, but you need somebody like yourself that is going to be there with an organization that's able to help them get the best out of it and adhere to those KPIs and just really do that. So we've seen this term, the event technologist, recently. It seems to be gaining momentum. How much do you think that this new role is needed? And what advice would you have for any newcomers?
I could probably talk to you about this for half a day, I think. I make a comparison with event technology to marketing technology and the state of marketing technology 10 or even 15 years ago, when it just started to become a thing. I'm broad brushing, but it's a podcast, so I'll take a little license here. All the marketers were saying, I'm not a techie person, or I'm not sure about the tech side of things. I'm a marketer, I'm not a technology person. And I think painfully had that experience in the event world very, very forced upon us in recent years. But we're now getting to a point where event technology is not going anywhere. It just is not going anywhere. Gartner just released their Magic Quadrant. We have got some incredibly impressive event technology companies offering extremely comprehensive solutions and hundreds of really new emerging challenger technologies coming through as well. So this is not going anywhere. Do I think we need widespread event technologists across multiple organizations today? No, probably not. I do think we have many organizations that can still achieve what they need to achieve with event technology without appointing a single human being to be solely responsible for it. It might be a quarter of their job or half of their job, perhaps. But do I think we're going to need more of these people in the next 3 to 5 years? Yes, 100%, because the market is only getting noisier. The outcomes and opportunities are only getting bigger. And we're slowly getting to a tipping point. Yeah, we're going to need more of these people to the point where I'm not entirely sure what I'm going to do with it yet, gentlemen, but I have bought the URL eventtechnologists.com because so do I feel that at some point there could be a home for these people to come and hang out. So the succinct answer is yes. As of right now, today, probably not for all organizations, but gradually in time, any significant event business or events team within a corporate, yes, I think in the near years, we'll see more and more of these roles come through.
Fantastic. And we really look forward to seeing what you do with that URL as well.
Me too, Mike.
We will keep an eye on that one. But thank you so much, Vanessa. That's been fantastic. You've offered some really practical, in-depth insight and advice. I'm sure our listeners found it incredibly useful. So thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So for more reading material into this fascinating subject of event technology, IBTM has got a wealth of resources. There's reports on the on-demand hub via the IBTM World website. One in particular, Future Proofing Events Report, discusses all the practical tools like mobile event apps, live translation, contactless registration software, to experiential virtual reality experiences. And the consensus seems to be that it's hard to know what's actually worth investing in. Fear and overwhelm about how to use and integrate emerging technologies presents another challenge, but building confidence across teams requires investment, not only in the tech, but also in taking people on a learning journey. And I think Vanessa explained that incredibly well, didn't she, about how to integrate and embed new technologies.
Yeah, Mike, she really did. It's spot on the money. Once you've signed the contract for the new technology, that's just a starting point at which you need to then make sure that you take everybody on the journey with you. And what do we mean by that? It's no point in having tech if the people that are supposed to be using it are not using it. So as long as you can explain the kind of benefits and also get them involved, take them along with you, use that psychology, then you will get better benefits from all the tech that you've just signed up for.
She also talked really well about how the relationship between companies and technology providers is developing and gave some good advice.
She did. I think if I was, say, tech provider or even a planner, I'd be pinning my ears back to say, yeah, it's all about the outcomes, not about the features, about the outcomes. So if you can't show me how good the outcomes are, I won't be buying your tech.
We also heard on the podcast today about some exciting new technology, Holoplot. That was quite groundbreaking, wasn't it? I've actually experienced it in an exhibition environment where the sound, you can translate it into different languages depending on where you're sitting in the auditorium. And the potential for that is incredible.
That one for me was really mind-blowing. To be able to direct sound waves to most individuals is just brilliant.
Excellent. And then, of course, Colger, he's really passionate about the potential for AI. But what do you think about AI, Paul? Do you think it's a lot of hype, or do you think there's some practical applications for AI currently that event planners should be experimenting with?
Well, I think there are practical applications, and AI is something that's already in our kind of day-to-day lives. Think of Alexa, think of Siri, we use those. Taking it to a business place is coming next. You can use it, of course, but I think you have to use it with an idea of, well, what will this help me do? So if it's for generating marketing copy, That's great, but you're always going to have to put your own stamp of your company on there to make sure it's your tone of voice. So as long as you know why you're using it and how you're using it, I think you can go a long way with using AI to propel your company forward.
I think planners need to be experimenting with how to automate a lot of the manual tasks that they've currently got on their plates, and also experimenting with it, as you say, for purposes of creativity or even audience engagement within events themselves. It's been fascinating. Really, really great topics being talked about today in terms of event technology. Another really interesting episode. So thanks for joining us on the podcast, listeners, and we'll be back soon with another one of New in Events, a podcast by IBTM.
Thanks so much for listening to New in Events, a podcast from IBTM. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from. Put November 19th to 21st in your diaries for IBTM World in Barcelona, and follow us on our social media channels for all the latest updates. Until next time.